great to have him in his monthly vision. Oh, well, Richard Yeoman, of course, leads the charge. H2M Architects and Engineers, ladies and gentlemen, leading firm of its kind. We tell you that every morning in operation. Hard to believe, 90 years. And a company that's made up of so many, 460-plus engineers, surveyors, scientists, architects, all part of the great team and leading the charge, as he has always, over the last 11 years. I hope I have that right. I seem to get it wrong a lot, don't I? Is Mr. Richard Yeoman. And we welcome him here in the month of May. Sir, how are you? How's everything going?
Everything's good, Jay. Good morning. And, 11 years, you got that right on the number.
Good to have you, pal. And we get you at the time when the Mets have turned the corner. The huge fan that you are, 5 of 6. Great weekend. Great weekend against the Guardians. And it looks like maybe, you know, baseball is such a long season. Isn't it unbelievable? A week ago, everybody's calling for Buck Showalter's head. All of a sudden, he looks like a genius now. Let me tell you something. Showalter goes as Verlander goes, as Max Scherzer goes, as pitching goes. You got good pitching, guess what? You got a chance, right?
I know. It's funny you just said it's a long season, and leave it to us New York fans. We're an emotional group, so we're up and we're down, and we're up and we're down, and you know, thank God we're not making the decisions for teams like the Mets. Otherwise, it would be a revolving door of coaches and players. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think anytime you've got high expectations and you hit a little bit of a rut and people don't have answers, even Buck didn't really have answers for a little bit of the rut, and he's trying to protect his players. But, yeah, at the end of the day, talent's on the team. They need to get out and perform. But that's been like that forever.
Yankees looked pretty good, 4 in a row themselves, sweep the Reds. Before that, in Toronto, winning 3 of 4, you know, everybody calling for Aaron Boone's head, and, you know, again, it's a long season. Goes right into October, yeah. Folks. Right? I mean, you got to let the games play out, and that's so it's going on. So, looks pretty good locally, and of course, since we talked to Aaron Rodgers as a Jet, and that's looking good. I was reading a quick piece today in the paper regarding Mekhi Becton, the tackle who's been out in injuries left and right. And he's dropped like 60 pounds, and, you know, he's geared up. You see what Aaron Rodgers news does as far as getting people in that right frame of mind? In Becton's case, who knows what he was thinking? All of a sudden, he's working out like crazy every day and losing weight and getting that leg in shape. So, yeah, listen, you're confident your Jets are going to make it to the Super Bowl or what?
You know what? I'm not going to go that far yet, but what you just said about the influence of Rodgers, I think it's a great analogy for just what leaders can do and people with good reputations. Because, you know, the criticism on Becton all along was that, you know, he's overweight, he's not fit enough, but he's a talented guy and, you know, could be a tackle for the Jets for a decade. But, you know, was he motivated? Now you're bringing a guy who I'm sure everybody wants to perform for and be at their best, and now the guy is doing what he's got to do to get himself in shape and contribute to the team. So I'm hoping not only, you know, as good of a player as Rodgers is, but his influence on the team is elevated. Yeah, that's, you know, kind of like when I'm drawing a blank on the Giants coach that took over the Jets, Parcells. You know, it changed the environment when you get somebody who's a proven winner and leader into the organization. Everybody steps themselves up, so maybe this will be a little bit like that.
All right, with the Giants and Brian Daboll leading the charge, first game of the season, goes for the 2-point conversion against the Titans. That set the course. Leadership plays a massive role, as in your company, sir. You are leading the charge in an incredible fashion. A lot is happening, and, you know, I'll tell you, this whole thing with Nassau Coliseum and Las Vegas Sands, and there's some pushback here. A lot of people are not thrilled about the possibility, Rich. I think it'll bring in a ton of revenue, well-needed revenue in there. I thought County Executive Blakeman cut a pretty good deal with Sands Very good deal in favor of the county over the next decade plus. And I think, you know, you have to, it's a blighted area. You got to do something with it. You know, you have the UBS doing its job over there at Belmont. You needed something in Uniondale. I think it's a perfect elixir to get this thing on track and creating some dollars here, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you hit a couple of good points. One is I agree with you. I think the county did a good job of protecting itself. There's no guarantee right now, and until the state makes its decisions on where these downstate casinos go, you still need the commitment to developing the hub. At least what I read, the provisions that are in place show a few things. One, Bruce Dykeman did do a really nice job of positioning the property in a way that is going to be good for the taxpayers of the county. And it also shows the commitment of Sands. That's important. Whenever you have somebody come in to do a significant development, you want to make sure that you have the level of commitment and buy-in. And organizationally, the things that Sands has done over the last few years to capitalize itself in a way where it can really invest significantly in the hub, we haven't seen anything like this yet. So I think that's a fantastic sign. And, right now it's at a point where Sands is doing what it needs to do, partnering with Nassau County to be able to win a license. But then, there's all the other things that go along with the development, and there's a secret process that they're still going to follow, and whatever, regulatory framework, needs to be followed. So, I mean, there's a road ahead. Getting a lease done was a critical piece of that. And I think it, if nothing else, solidifies that there's, going to be some great opportunity for the region with the redevelopment of the hub.
Going to add a lot as far as what the future will bring here. Rich Heumann with us in his monthly spot. Let's get into a couple of particulars. Lots to go over as far as some of the topics community-wise and some of the company and project spotlights as well. I'll start with the spotlights. Rich, last week, I forgot what day, very proud your company was to participate. Groundbreaking it was for the Central Islip Fire District and their new substation that you are designing, my friend. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, they're. I think the whole commitment that we have as a region to first responders and firefighters in particular, and we've designed a lot of fire stations for the firefighters here on the island. It's another really nice project where you talk about how things evolve and how you need to continue to innovate and how to be more efficient and effective in response and dealing with numbers of emergencies, but fires in particular or any kind of emergency rescue, seconds really count. Partnering with CI in order to develop a program and a design that's going to enhance their ability to be responsive, their ability to manage their equipment in an effective way, I think is great. And as I was thinking about just this topic area, over the last two or three years, I think we've got five or six fire stations here on the island that are all designed and in construction, and it tells us something. There's the need is there, the opportunity is there, the community support is there. Often, a lot of these fire districts need to go out for public financing through bonds, and their voters have to vote and approve. So there's clearly the type of rooted commitment and community that aligns with the things that we do for the fire service, and I mean, you said it when you opened it up. I'm really proud of it. The company is proud to do our part. It's just another, you know, element of supporting communities that we try to commit ourselves to, and I'm looking forward to a really great project.
There's no question. We're talking with Rich Heumann, H2M Architects and Engineers. Talk to me a little bit about the John Street Elementary School, Rich. Lots of upgrades and everything else here. Give me a sense what's going on there.
Yeah, I can almost reiterate what I just said for the fire service, because, education, especially K-12, there's so much opportunity to evolve and enhance the facilities at all these school districts. And, nothing, I think, affects us more than, hearing about some kind of tragedy at a school. And a lot of our school district clients are continuing to do things in order to fortify themselves, in order to provide enhanced security, in order to provide enhanced monitoring, in order to evolve learning and how students go about learning in the most effective way. And, the project is a little bit of an epitome of things that we're doing for a number of the school districts here on Long Island. It's another place where I think there's a lot of community support, which is also extremely important. As we move ourselves forward, I think you're going to see more commitment, financial commitment, capital program commitment, in order to enhance all the facilities that these school districts are responsible for. And our team here, I mean, they're experts at what they do, and they make sure that they're following trends and trying to make sure that we're providing some cutting edge recommendations to our clients in the school districts. So, another nice, exciting project for us, and looking forward to see not only that project, but a lot of the really cool projects that we're doing in particularly K-12 education.
The fact that you're doing the ball fields too, the playgrounds, turf fields and whatnot, walkway seating areas, all part of the great project here. Fantastic stuff. So keep up the good work there, my friend. Now let's get into a couple of things. We have the trade show coming into play this week over at the Grand Campus, Suffolk County Community College. All kinds of stuff there. That is always and we're going to have the folks on tomorrow, some of the folks on tomorrow. Terry will be with us. I think Joe Campo will be with us as well to kind of highlight. But a very, very important event when it comes to HIA and everything to be established there. Give me a second on that.
Looking forward to that a lot. We'll have a group there also. How much I enjoy this event, and I think for a lot of the small businesses that maybe don't get the same kind of opportunity as other businesses to network themselves, to get to see what's happening in areas that affect their industry, it's a huge opportunity for them. Terry is A, she does a great job. B, I know she's really excited because it's probably, whether or not it's where we were before the pandemic in terms of attendance and participation, it's going to be close. I'm sure she probably knows those numbers off the top of her head. And, having the opportunity to have our team go, we'll have technical people there. We'll have some HR people, some marketing people, so that we could really touch on all the different aspects that are of interest to us. And one of the things I think we're doing over there is I've been probably for the last 6 months, touting the utilization of virtual reality and that technology as part of the design process. And I sat through some meetings where we've been able to walk through 3D design models that are essentially finished with VR technology. And the perspective that people get, it's one thing to try to look through a set of two-dimensional plans, but it's another thing when you get to walk somebody through their design before it's built. So we're going to have some of our folks there providing some virtual reality project tours where we're going to show them some projects we've designed and, let them see, what the benefit would be to really take a look at, how a facility could be before it gets built. So I'm looking very much forward to that. And I love the panels. There's always good panels. There's great leadership groups. You get a really good sense of what the development landscape is like and what's the sense of, some of our leading developers here on Long Island. How do they feel? How do they feel about the economy? How do they feel about financing? How do they feel about the regulatory process? Just a very positive event. I know I personally look forward to it, and I'll probably see lots of people there. So it should be a great event this week.
I've been there so many times, and it's a six-hour day, but it goes like 5 minutes because really there's so much going on with the demonstrations, the discussions, the panel. It's so important too from an economic standpoint. You really kind of learn the landscape of what it is, and we know how important HIA is to the island. We always compare Silicon Valley out west, so you got HIA here. And it's just a wonderful event that Terry puts on and that great crew of hers. So that's all coming up on the 25th. Always a lot of fun. Now, also, we talked a little bit about the Central Islip Fire District and everything else as far as design and everything else to be a part of. You guys were. But you, as you were at the FDIC this month, right? And you were the design architect behind the fire rescue station of the future, which is kind of, an interactive showcase, cutting edge design products, lots happening there. And it's kind of a futuristic look, right, Rich, at the station. Lots going on there you could learn from these models. Give me a sense of what was going on there.
That was a really cool event. It was at Lucas Oil Stadium and the Convention Center in Indianapolis. They get about 35,000 attendees from around the world. My understanding, it's the second biggest fire rescue show in the world. And the organization that puts on the event had reached out to us, and we have a relationship with them. We've got some experts here that are known nationally in fire rescue design, and they wanted to try something different. So what they asked us to do was design this fire rescue station of the future, that they would physically build the space inside the football stadium. Not brick and mortar built, but essentially laying out the space and putting, all this new equipment and systems in place from, decontamination and things that as a novice in this area that I don't think about. Obviously, it's really important to firefighters is, depending on where they go to fight a fire, they could fight a fire where there's chemicals or other contaminants. And then they come back to the fire station and what processes are in place to allow them to decontaminate themselves and their clothing, what happens to their clothing, how does that get dealt with, how do they then get to whatever space they need to get to in order to put on new clothing. And, I'll say us regular community folks have no idea what goes into designing a facility that supports these people that, respond to fires in their communities. And there were so many, elements to that, whether it was optimizing response times, the communication systems, just access throughout the facilities, for places where, firefighters bunk. And what does that space look like? So, our architect here designed it. We worked with equipment vendors to outfit these innovative facilities. That was really cool. So, when I got there, I didn't really know what to expect. I was just blown away by how interested people were, how engaged they were. And our team got to, give tours all day long for, people that were interested in either building a new fire station or maybe renovating one of their fire stations to try to include some of this more cutting-edge technology. And I think you're probably just because I'm naive and everything that goes into effectively designing firehouses. It was very cool, and we really appreciated the partnership with FDIC. And I think moving forward, they've come back to us already, where every year when they have this event, they're going to look for us to design for them whatever the next cutting edge technology is. Fire stations, they're going to want to be able to display that at their annual event. So good stuff.
It can't be deemed more so as far as importance when it comes to saving lives and keeping crews safe. That is key, and you guys have a pretty good hand in it. I'd say there's a lot of confidence involved with HOM involved with that. And before we take our break, I want to just get into some of the hires. From what I understand, I was reading 7 new hires in the month of April there, sir. Mainly college grads here, people in the profession. Where are we at with that?
I think a mix of all. We fortunately, and I have talked in the past that we have a pretty significant internship program, and we're always looking to hopefully bring people on that have interned here and then have graduated. So I think there are a number of people over the next couple of months that we'll be bringing in that are college grads. We've also been successful, I think, at bringing some experienced people in. And one of the interesting things I'll say to that is we brought in a really nice experienced architect in our New York City office, and I was talking to the folks here that had handled the hiring process, and really talented person. He essentially made his decision based on his perception of our culture, our commitment to communities. He probably could have gone anywhere to design, but he wanted to join a firm that aligned with him from a value point of view. And I thought that was awesome. And even though we do it here because we believe it's the right thing to do, and you hope it resonates with other people, when you have opportunities to recruit and, outside of the types of projects that you do and the types of clients you have, but the type of company you are is the reason why somebody makes the decision to come here. Like, that's about as rewarding of a conversation as I can have with somebody. And I see moving forward, it's going to be a lot of the same, hiring some entry-level staff people, but also continuing to find some, really good experienced talent. Keeps the team strong and allows us to continue to move ourselves forward in the many markets we're in.
And we are back with our guest, Ms. Richard Hume, my good friend over at the great H2M Architects and the engineers leading firm of its kind, talking about some of the big events happening in and around the island. We'll continue that as well, some hot topics and some of the project spotlights over the last couple of weeks, including that. I tell you, you guys are so good when it comes to engagement of the community and whatnot. I was reading, Rich, regarding Sloan Kettering. You've raised over $100,000 or so to date. You got some great things. Cycle for Survival, which was just a little over a week ago, to support Sloan Kettering. Give me a sense of what that was all about.
That was really a great, all these events, just great events. So Equinox nationally has partnered with Memorial Sloan Kettering to raise money for rare cancer research. And, we have some people here who have spearheaded the commitment of the company to Memorial Sloan Kettering. So for a number of years, we would go and participate by essentially you buy a bike and it's a four-hour cycling class. And you have a team of four, and everybody rides for an hour, and you raise money for riding. And so we went there. It was the Equinox by Bryant Park in the city. So we had a team of eight people go there to the event. Not only is it the amount of money, so H2M, and it, I think you said maybe $100,000 to date, and that's pretty much, you know, what our contribution has been. But I think Memorial Sloan Kettering for Cycle for Survival has raised over $300 million nationwide, which is amazing. And you hear from doctors and patients about the things that they do with the money that's raised. And you know, when you try to wrap your head around the concept of you know, curing cancer, it's something that, you know, we've used as a talking point for decades, as an impossible thing to do. And more, when you hear about these researchers, whether it's a potential cure or a new management system where they can utilize, you know, different medications in a certain way in order to, you know, possibly put people into remission. It's really amazing. And you know, so for me, you know, we left the train station in Ronkonkoma and, you know, went to Grand Central Madison, which is cool. I really love that station. And then, you know, we walk over and, you know, for us, it's just, it's a normal Saturday. And, you know, then you get into the event and you hear these stories that just tug at you and, you know, make you thankful for what you have and the health of the people around you. And it also reassures the fact that there are people out there that are just literally trying to cure cancer, and we're doing what we can to help support them.
Doing a massive part in that regard. Talk to me a little bit about the paper recycling program started a couple of weeks ago. Give me a sense what that was all about with ERG. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is going to maybe sound a little odd, but it's true. You know, there's recycling has a market. And, you know, whether it's your home recycling with bottles and cans and, you know, paper and plastics, here, you know, businesses in general don't have an opportunity to recycle paper because, you know, the companies that most building owners contract with in order to get rid of their garbage are not, you know, they're not looking to be selective and recycle. So, you know, we were looking around for a while. We ended up you know, partnering with a local carter who basically equipped our space with some large recyclable containers so that people can just recycle paper. And it's, after all this time, it seems like such a simple thing, but it's something that we just weren't able to get into our own SOP and how we conduct our business. So we do have a sustainability employee resource group, and they're always looking to see, you know, what are the things that the company could do itself in order to be more sustainable, and what are the things we could do in our design that can allow us to be more sustainable in terms of what we're doing for our clients. And they did a lot of research, had a lot of meetings and conversations, and you wouldn't think it would be as challenging to find somebody who would be able to support you in recycling, but it was. So now we have something implemented, and I'm really happy that they stood with what they wanted to try to achieve, and, you know, the fact that we could just support the things that are important, not just to them, but to us, to the environment, was great. And I'm so easy, like an easy yes to say, because it's going to cost us some money to do this, but you know, the benefits should be significant. And again, I think it's something that I thought would have been easier to do, but it wasn't that easy.
But you got through it, as you always do, no question. Rich Heumann, H2M Architects and Engineers. Two more for you as far as community engagement. One was, a town hall was present in May here as, preparation, introductions of high school students to STEM careers and gaining some, at least an opportunity to gain some college credits. You know, we talked about the hiring process. This is a process, it seems to me, getting kids on their way as far as some excellent careers in this field.
Yeah, we had a group come in, I think primarily Uniondale students, 9th, 10th, 11th grade. There were maybe 40 or so students that came here. And what we're continuing to try to do is introduce high school students to the opportunities that could be in front of them if they considered, some kind of a STEM career. And what is always great about it is they listen, they ask a lot of questions, they got excited, or at least some of them got excited, and to have the teachers, the counselors, in this case, the superintendent of schools was also here, and she was great. Uniondale is a very important education client of ours, and we have a really good relationship with them. And this is something that we want to do to continue to advocate and hopefully educate students from our perspective, allow them to hear from people, people that are young professionals that are in their early mid 20s to potentially be role models for high school students who are really just trying to figure out, where their passion is and what they want to do and where can they go. And, our team here, really led by our HR group, is trying to do everything that they can to allow us to influence as many high school students as we can to introduce them to the things that we do here at H2M. So I thought it was a huge success. I felt the students are really engaged in it. I had an opportunity just to talk about, my own pathway from college to where I am today. And that prompted questions and conversation from some of the students. And that's really what it is. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and try to invest in the continuation of the people that can make your industry successful and thrive, then you have an obligation to spend time with students. And I'm sure that we're going to do a lot more of this, but the opportunity was great. And I think for us now, logistically getting them to come here was a challenge, and we want to do more of going to the school district and having our people go in, whether it's an auditorium presentation with students, just to talk to them about, what is it like to be a young architect or engineer or scientist. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for us there, but, this was a really nice event for us.
Doors left and right every month. It's really great to read. And one more event I was impressed about in reading, Rich, this Mom Jeans event, if you could tell the audience. It's all about dollars raised. And it's helping a lot of moms in need over at the Save Center Ally. Talk to me about that for a sec.
Yeah. So this is led by our Women's Leadership Employee Resource Group. Super engaged group. We have such strong female leaders here that a number of them spearheaded, and we've done it for a few years now, an internal fundraiser where we allow people to wear jeans, and people can wear jeans if they want otherwise, but you wear jeans and you donate some money, and then the company matches whatever employee donations come in, and we use the money to buy things to make baskets. H2M people get together and they make all these baskets. We bring them over to Safe Center of Long Island, and that's a support center for victims of domestic violence. And in cases where we had just gone through Mother's Day, where moms in certain circumstances don't even get opportunities to get gifts from their kids, although their kids would love to give their moms gifts, they don't have the wherewithal to do it. We provide baskets so that kids can give baskets to their moms on Mother's Day. It's a fantastic initiative. It's another just great organization. When you and I talk about the things that we all can do to support our community, like every organization after the next is such a great organization. And this is just another one that, fills such a critical gap in supporting people that are really going through a very challenging time in their life. And our women's leadership group is so engaged in this that I'm proud of lots of things. I'm extremely proud of the things that they do for their communities and how aware they are and how willing they are to commit sacrifice to be supportive. So that Mom's Jeans event is a great event every year.
Sounds like fantastic stuff. Now, a couple of things before we have to go. I want to bring up, the state in a couple of grants to the Long Island water providers, two of them, to bring drinking water up to higher safety standards. I think it was a little over $18 million. Last week, there was a presser, Rich, regarding some of the areas in around the island in Suffolk County. They're going to be getting a lot of grant money. I think it's $20 million or so in some of these towns to really improve the sewer districts and whatnot, bring everybody up to speed. We know Long Island has been plagued by water problems, nitrogen pollution, to be exact, which has really been a massive problem here. A lot of businesses and whatnot are going to need this money. I thought that was an excellent boost regarding activity in the future. We know how this has been a massive topic, both counties, over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I think the time, it's a good time. I think from a funding perspective, the federal government, the state government clearly recognizes the critical nature of sewers and water quality. Whether it's on the drinking water side or the wastewater side. There hasn't been a period like there has been over the last, 3 or 4 years where so much capital is being committed to water and wastewater infrastructure. And the issues are clear. And we've been talking about them for years and years. The continued commitment financially of developing sewers in Suffolk County is vital. It's vital to protect water quality. It's vital to spur economic development. And you could go community by community and take a look at communities that have a sewer infrastructure system in place, the things that they've been able to do to revitalize themselves, to continue to protect not just the groundwater, but some of the streams and rivers that are in their community. That we know that if you don't control nitrogen pollution, it's going to support the development of harmful algal blooms in some of our surface waters, and so for us, it's such a significant piece of the things we need to do to move forward that it would frankly be impossible locally to fund all the work that needs to be done. So, the fact that our local elected officials are very engaged with their state and federal partners and are continuing to loudly voice the needs of Long Island in order to continue to get that funding coming in. So when you see articles like that that talk about Long Island getting another $20 million for whether it's sewer infrastructure or designing and installing treatment systems for drinking water, our challenges are you know, they're not eliminated, but we are really on a great trajectory to continue to enhance and develop the systems that we need in order to protect drinking water and groundwater and surface water. So I'm excited about it. It's got to continue, and you know, there's not an end yet. And I think the more successful we are by properly investing these dollars, and people get to see the results of the investment, I think that's one of the reasons why there's such a willingness to continue to commit significant dollars to the region to deal with things like sewers.
And I guess in summation, let me ask you this. I mean, are you still confident regarding the overall economic outlook, you know, consumer prices in this country? When you look at what happened in April, they rose again. Measures of underlying inflation staying somewhat high. And it's a sign that further declines in inflation likely to be slow and somewhat bumpy here. But when you look at everything, the big picture, are you still confident, mindful of a pretty good future? A lot of stuff going on. We brought up in the beginning of the conversation what's happening with the possibility over the Nassau Coliseum. You look at everything out east. The airport seems to be flowing at MacArthur with new destinations and whatnot, new terminal to be built. You look at Midway and everything else, Ronkonkoma Hub. I mean, there are a lot of positive signs here. Are you still in that mindset of keeping that way?
Yeah, I am. I think that what's important for all of us is just to continue to be aware, to you know, watch and, you know, be nimble and act when you need to. You know, it's always a good sign when you have continued investment, and I haven't heard about you know, people really pulling back their commitment to invest in the island with a lot of these major projects, and you know, that's a good sign. But if you start to see a slowing of that, that would be a good indicator that you know, there are maybe some, you know, kind of rockier waters in front of us. But you know, right now, I would say, you know, everybody is continuing to be a little cautious. I would say, you know, a decent optimism right now, not a great one, but a decent one. And I think in the bigger picture, you've got, you know, multiple financial metrics that kind of pull at each other. So, you know, if you don't like one metric, you adjust another metric in order to counteract that one metric. And there's a great balance in that. And, you know, we've seen what happens when things get out of balance. So measuring it moving forward is going to be critical. And I think we are in a pretty, you know, critical juncture. And we will be for the next, you know, 12 or 18 months to see where things go. I think everybody would expect a lightning on inflation for sure. It'd be nice then to see, you know, interest rates start to tick down once inflation's coming down. And if the Fed's found the right balance in that, you'll see that. If they didn't, then you're going to see, I think, some continued conflict in how we're making our decisions in order to, you know, really drive the economy. And, you know, in the end, I think, you know, one of the overarching benefits is there's continued commitment from the feds and the state to invest in the region. That's always positive for us, and you know, we'll be okay as we move ourselves forward. Just need to, you know, be aware and keep our eyes open.
Hopefully, something positive today. Mr. Heumann, regarding the President and the House Speaker, regarding the debt ceiling, very important stuff with reverberations for all. So we'll keep an eye on that. That will have certainly hopefully a good effect if some positive nature comes about of it. Great to have you here. The hour always flies by. Always look forward to the next one, my friend. You stay well.
You too, Jack.
Appreciate it all. The great Rich Heumann. H2M Architects.